The Entrepreneur Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in business and leadership. Critical areas include identifying entrepreneurial characteristics, selecting a value position, and business model development. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
National headlines and the local stories you care about. WLBB, Carrollton, News Talk, 1330, FM 106.3.
Now it's 8:30. Good Wednesday morning. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3, streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. My name is Colin Worthington. I will introduce my guests here in just a second. First of all, I want to say voters in Carroll County have three more full days for early voting ahead of the March 18th special election to determine whether or not local school systems can continue to collect the 1% educational special purpose or education special purpose local option sales tax. The next 3 days, registered voters can cast their ballot at the Carroll County Elections Office just up the road from us on Noonan Road, the old WGTC building, and Powell Park in Villarica. Then on Tuesday, March the 18th, Carroll County voters will go to their precinct's own polling place to cast a ballot. I don't know if you voted Powell Park or not on Election Day, but you definitely don't go to the Elections Office in Carroll County on Election Day. So find out where your precinct is and go out there and vote. My guests this morning, we have Carroll County School Superintendent Scott Cowart and Carrollton City School Superintendent Mark Albertus. Obviously, they're going to be in favor of you casting a ballot for that East Bloss. They're going to talk about why during this program. Let me start off with the and read a bit of the question that you will find on ballots. It's a long one. I'll decide if I want to read the whole thing as I get halfway through it, because it'll take us through this entire segment if I do. All right. It's a special election, 1% sales tax for education. Shall a special 1% sales and use tax be imposed in Carroll County for a period of time not to exceed 5 years, commencing upon the expiration of the existing 1% sales and use tax currently in force, and for raising of not more than $333 million to be divided 72.8% to the Carroll County School District, $240 million about, $86 million to the Carrollton Independent School System, that's about 26%, and $6.6 million would go to the Bremen Public School System, and that's 2%. It's the purpose of providing funds to pay or to be applied toward the cost of the following, and I guess I'll let the superintendents explain what their proposed projects are now. Good morning, gents.
Good morning, Kyle.
And thank you. Good morning.
Thank you guys for coming out here this morning. We, our buddy Joel, our camera guy, couldn't make it in this morning, so but we are on the radio, so thank you for tuning in the radio, and we'll put this in podcast form on our website when we're done so everybody can go back and listen to it. And get an idea of this if they haven't already made their decision on that. All right, guys, first of all, why should Carroll County support this?
Well, first of all, Colin, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Look forward to have a conversation with you and just talking about this opportunity for our community. We're very fortunate to live in a community that values education, values building quality of life for all of our citizens, and obviously that starts with our young people as we try to move them through the school system. The SPLOST for Education started in 1997, and there's been six cycles so far that our community has supported. And with this, we've been able to do a number of things, both in the Carrollton City School System and the Carroll County System. Obviously, one of the first and foremost things that people think about when they think about a SPLOST for Education is the buildings, the facilities that we can use, because the law states we can use SPLOST dollars for capital expenditures, and so those facility-type projects.
Not to salaries or anything like
that? No, we cannot use it on people, salaries, or anything of that nature. And so we've been able to build a number of really nice facilities. When we started this journey here in 2010 as school superintendent with Carroll County Schools, we had 110 mobile classrooms we were actually educating young people in at that time. And I know in the period of time I've been here in Carroll County, that's the first thing that our board committed to, was to get children out of those mobile classrooms and get them into brick and mortar classrooms. But we've also been able to do a number of other things, you know, whether it be our Performing Arts Center, you know, things like our media centers and extending cafeterias. But adding classrooms has been the number one facility piece that we've done. But on top of that, and what a lot of people don't realize is how both school systems use it to purchase buses, to purchase technology. And over the last couple of years, an area that's been of great concern to our entire state is safety. So we're able to use it, you know, as we try to increase the number of safety devices or safety equipment that's available in each of our buildings. So there's a variety of ways that we use that. And every time we use a SPLOST dollar, that allows us not to have to spend that dollar out of our general fund budget, which comes from property taxes. And so it's just a good way to be able to allow us to do the things we need to do for children, but yet hopefully do it in a very positive and conservative way.
Is SPLOST by the bus barn property, the one off of Bankhead Highway?
Yes, it helped us do that entire project. And that's just another example, and I appreciate you saying that one, that prior to that, and a lot of people don't know that our bus barn and maintenance garage, we didn't even own the property. It was owned by
the county.
I was
going to ask if you guys made any money off of that, but you didn't. Okay.
No, it was owned by the county. And you know, through their great heart, for many years, they'd allowed the school system to have that use of that facility. But they had told us a few years ago that they were going to need that property, and we needed to find an option. And so we'd been looking, and we came upon that property. And because of the SPLOST, again, we were able to exercise that and get the property purchased and to get on it quickly. Within less than 12 months, we were actually on site and with all those programs.
All right, Mark, talk to your voters. Talk to the voters within the Carrollton city limits.
Yes, sir. Well, thanks for having us. And I echo, obviously, everything that Mr. Cowart has said. I want to add to that is this is a consumption tax. And, you know, it being a consumption tax and not property tax, about 30%, and this is not embellished, this is the factual facts, 30 to 33% of the tax comes off of people that moved through Carroll County.
But how do we know that exactly?
And well, I mean, you can look at it from the standpoint of all the sales. You know, when you're looking at, if you break that down, Walmart, the people that come through there, there's a lot of Eastern Alabama folks that come through and purchase, and you can mine the data that way. And then also we do projections for growth and everything through the chamber and Carroll Tomorrow. And when we do a study like that, they have all that data broken down. I mean, they hire consultants to come in and break all that down, and it's pretty fascinating data. But it also goes to the common sense part of it, is we all know that we have 5 million people that come through here to work, that they don't live in the Carroll County. They come to work, they buy their lunch, they get their gas here. Also, we have a lot of tourism, whether it be recreational sports tourism, they're coming through here to see their kids play, or whether they're coming through up and down, you know, 27 and whatnot. So, you know, it's a consumption tax, and it's very, very fair tax. And like Mr. Cowart said, it's a continuation. It's not a new tax. And, you know, I think that there's a misconception out there that, you know, yes, you have some people that are just unilaterally against taxes, okay? But, I mean, this is one of the more fair taxes, and it really is one of those things where we can utilize this this tax to support our communities, support our education, and try to stay away from raising property taxes.
Now, it started in 1996. I guess neither of you guys were here at that point. We're working, I mean, not in your positions anyway. I just wondered, did people foresee this being needed every 5 years, do you think, when it was presented initially?
I'll just say that this community has grown. And it's continuing to grow. And again, you look at some of these studies that have done, Atlanta has moved every cardinal direction, and now it's coming west. And so we you can look at the city, you can look at the county. There's been growth every year, and the projections are that there'll continue to be growth. And to Mr. Cowart's point, being able to keep up with having adequate classrooms and facilities that not only serve our students and community, but also ones that the community can be proud of and want to send their kids there, is really a blessing to this community that everybody puts it in a high priority. And then I also want to just say, he touched on the point about technology and safety. When we were both going through school, we did not have computers in our classrooms.
And not that, even those big floppy disks?
No, sir. We're dating ourselves, but we didn't have that, nor did we have cameras, surveillance cameras for security and locking doors and all this type of thing. It's a different day, and there's a price tag to that. That's additional, and SPLOST allows us to be able to be as safe as possible. Also allows us to keep up with the technology of 2025. And having computers in classrooms, that's not cutting edge anymore. That 25 years ago, that might have been cutting edge, but that's just keeping up with the day and time of supporting our kids so that they can compete in a global economy.
All right, before I take that first break, there is one project that's on here. I mean, the Carrollton City Schools, that's laid out exactly what you want, right? Tell us about that one.
Yeah, so we have our school board has had the foresight to buy some property over by Cottage Hill Road, and our plans are to alleviate some of the crowding of our lower grades is to build a early learning school over near Cottage Hill Road, which is near Tabernacle Baptist Church. So is that the project you're referring
yes,
to?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, it's like a pre-K thing or
pre-K and kindergarten and kind of an early learning school. And we're in the preliminary stages, but again, we feel like that would really support our community and also alleviate some of the traffic and congestion over at our elementary school.
All right, guys, I'm going to take our first break. Time right now is 8:42. Speaking with Scott Cowart and Mark Albertus, superintendents of our local school systems, Carroll County Schools, and the Carrollton City Schools District. We will take that first break and come back with more Community Voice right after this.
Oak Mountain Academy is an innovative school of academic excellence celebrating over 61 years. I'm Patrick Curran, head of school, inviting you to join us on the mountain to see our mission and vision in action. Academic excellence, a faith-based environment, and dynamic opportunities are just a few of the reasons our families choose Oak Mountain Academy. Academic scholarships and tuition assistance are available. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop. Seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise. Representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice. My name is Colin Worthington, sitting here with Superintendent of Carrollton City Schools, Mark Albertus, and Superintendent of the Carroll County Schools District, Scott Cowart, as we talk about the eSPLOST proposal, which will be voted Election Day is actually March the 18th. You'll want to go to your own precinct's polling place for that. But if you want to vote early, you can go today, Thursday, or Friday, and do that at the Carroll County Elections Office off of Noonan Road in Carrollton or Powell Park in Villa Rica. First segment, if you missed it, it'll be available in podcast form on our website here shortly, newstalk1330.com, along with the rest of the program. 2015, these are the only stats that I could get. I mean, I might have been able to work harder to find them, but I just didn't find them. 2015, I think that it was like 74% support. 2020, there was 62%, 63%. So it's dropped a little bit. But if you go back to 2015, I think there was only 2,500 people that voted. 2020, there was 20,000 people that voted because there were a lot of mail-in ballot opportunities. I mean, what does that tell you? I mean, what do you guys take from that when you're creating your proposals? I mean, how did you view that when you came into this one?
Well, every time we undertake an opportunity to bring to our community this choice, we take it very seriously. And as you were asking Dr. Alburs earlier about the plans about the early learning center there, his board, just like my board, tries to spend a lot of time planning, thinking ahead, looking at the data, looking at growth, projecting growth, and making sure that there is a need out there, you know, to go to the taxpayers and ask for their support. And so we've done that. And one of the things we're really proud of is that because of the growth that we've seen across our five clusters of schools and what we're projecting to see, especially on the north end in the Temple and Villa Rica community. And by the way, a lot of people don't realize our fastest growing community right now is Temple. But as we look at that, 2 years ago, our Board of Education asked us to sit down and develop a very detailed master plan for each of our school campuses. And we undertook that, and we have that on our website where anybody can go see it. I mean, you know, any parent or community member, or employee, or whoever. And if they have a question about what's going to happen at Temple High School or, you know, Blanton Heisman Elementary or whatnot, they can actually see what's planned for us to be able to handle the growth over the next 10 to 15 years. So as we say that when we come to our voters, you know, it's with the recognition that we have done due diligence. We have really studied what we need relative to facilities, as well as, again, the technology support is huge. I mean, we're spending a great deal of money every year refreshing technology for students. When you've got nearly 17,000 students, that's a lot of devices that you're accounting for every year, and the refresh rate on that's, you know, pretty quick. So we've done a lot of work to make sure that there was a need and that there's a plan for what we're going to do with it. So it's not just asking for money, but it's asking for money because here's what we're going to do with the money.
How about the decision to have this vote as a special election as opposed to wait until the, you know, I guess when they're, what's county commissioners, city, no, cities this year, city races. How come, why have a special election? That does cost additional money to have a special election. Why have it now instead of doing like when there's other elections coming up that more people might go out and vote?
Well, what we do is we typically try to look at the timing of when the actual SPLOST could end and when we might be able to access these funds and have our plans in place to when we would start projects. And from looking ahead of when we would like to start some of our projects, and Dr. Alburs can talk about his, you know, going to the voters in this early spring window was the best window of time for us as we planned out what we want to do, when we want to do it. And so we will be, you know, bonding some of the money up front that it will allow us to get started sometime, you know, in the next 12 to 18 months if it passes.
Yeah, but bonding it, I mean, you end up having to pay back interest. You know, that's where some of that money will end up going, right?
Yeah, and that's why we don't bond a lot. You know, we bond only a small portion of it. But if we have a large project, for us, I got a couple examples of large projects, much like their Early Learning Center. I mentioned Temple High School, or the Temple community earlier is the fastest growing community we have relative to student population. We have a lot of needs there in the Temple community when it comes to facilities, especially at Temple High School. And so we'll be able to bond so we can go ahead and get that project started. And I'll give you an example. A couple years ago, we were around 680 students at Temple High School. We're up around 880 students now. We project to be over 1,000 students in the next couple of years and then to continue to grow. You know, with that, you know, we need to get out in front of that and have the, so we don't have to go back to mobile classrooms. So there's a timing component built into each of these master plan pieces that we have, And so we work with that timing component as we make decisions about when we try to bring this to forward to our voters.
The current SPLOST ends in 2027, but there's also a max money that can be collected in that one. Is that what is that one, when we're currently?
The current
135, something like that?
140? I think it's 135. Is, you know, on our side, I think it was like 90 for on our side.
How close is that to meeting that, matching that number?
Yeah, we've been very fortunate. I think, you know, our SPLOST collections have been strong. So it would not surprise us if ended a little bit early, maybe a quarter early or so.
Just a quarter.
But we watch that very carefully. And the way the state's rules read, depending on when it ends, they may cut it off in a quarter early, if that makes sense. It's not like each month, it's by quarters. And so you have to watch it carefully and do that. And when it ends, then there's, you know, that SPLOST dollar is not coming in if it hasn't been revoted by the community.
So that's a pretty big deal to miss out on a quarter
yes.
of that collection.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mark, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, for some folks obviously don't know in detail the process for refurbishing schools or rebuilding schools. And we work closely with the Department of Education, and there's a formula. And the easiest way to understand it is that, you know, after 50, 55 years, 45, 50 years, that they'll start saying, hey, you need to rebuild instead of refurbish or renovate kind of thing. And we look at it, and not all of our buildings are 50, 55 years old, but some of them are through the years. And the years tick away, so we're constantly doing five-year plans on what we need to do to current existing buildings, and then do we need to build additional ones? Do we need to tear down and build the same? And in many cases, we've had to go up several stories on the same area because we're kind of landlocked. And both the county and the city has some of that on different parts of the campuses. And so, again, we look at this and we project, and it does take money to be able to make sure that we're staying ahead of the growth and also keeping quality facilities in front of our families. And so, you know, that's one of the things that we're very fortunate that the community supports.
One of the things I'd like to point out too, Colin, is, you know, when you think about how the money's used and, you know, what plans do our boards of education have in place to try to meet growth and try to, you know, meet the needs of students, because the needs of students are changing. The classroom looks different than it did 10 years ago. It sure looks different than it did 20 years ago. But one of the things we want to make sure the community understands is we don't look just at spending money to build classrooms as the only strategy for how we handle growth. And I'll give you an example. When we look at across our school system, one of the things we want to try to do is assess, are there any vacant classrooms that are available? And could we move district lines or move attendance lines so that we could use those vacant classrooms rather than just building a classroom? And I'm going to really brag on our Board of Education, because we just finished this past year a major attendance line adjustment that allowed us to save a great deal of money and involved over 850 students in our school district were redistricted, and all five clusters were involved, so that children from all five clusters. And what it basically did is move some children from kind of the northeastern side of our county down towards the southwestern side of our county. In a series of moves, and it allowed us to take advantage of vacant classrooms in doing that. And so, again, that saved money by us doing that. A second example, and this is something that both school systems have been moving towards and we continue to, and it's really the third pillar of our strategy to deal with growth, and that's looking at different models of how we support students. You know, how do we schedule students? How do we deliver education for them? And we've been able to do a lot, especially with our high school campuses, with the University of West Georgia and West Georgia Technical College, relative to innovative scheduling to make sure that our children are having high-quality options to choose from. But some of those options give them greater flexibility than they used to get in the past. We've got students at Villarica High School who spend half their day or more on the campus of the University of West Georgia. Okay, see, that in itself is a strategy when you think through that. from a capacity standpoint. So the issue of just building for the sake of buildings is really not an accurate way to look at it. We have really a comprehensive strategy in that master plan for how we approach looking at growth, how we handle growth, but more importantly, how do we handle creating newer, better, and innovative opportunities for students to learn.
All right, guys, I'm going to take my final break here, come back with hopefully about 5 minutes as we discuss the East Lost vote, which is coming up on March the 18th. Early voting going on today, tomorrow, and Friday. We'll be back again with about 5 minutes. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop. Seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice Program, News Talk 1330, FM 106.3. My name is Colin Worthington, Scott Cowart, Mark Albertus, my guests this morning, and we're going to wrap up our show talking about the East Bloss. Now, this is, I'm sure you guys have talked to people about this. Now, what do you say to people who say they will not support this East Bloss because they're frustrated because you both opted out of the House bill that would have could have provided some tax relief? What are you telling those individuals?
Well, I want to point out that both school boards in August ticked down the millage rate. So they ticked down the millage rate. And we look at that every year. And that's the vehicle that we have to lower or raise the taxes. Is every August, the school boards and also the municipalities, they look at what the needs are and in the what's going on in the community. And that's the vehicle to do that. With the House Bill 581, the biggest thing there is handcuffing future community leaders and not being able to look at that every year and being able to adjust that needed. And also, we have a senior exemption in place, a very, very robust senior exemption in place. And that was a lot of confusion about House Bill 581. We had our open forums in both. We had people that were very confused. They thought this was taking away the senior exemption. Many, many communities that they don't have the senior exemption in place, but we do, and that's a very much a benefit for our seniors. So that was there was some confusion there. But as far as House Bill 581, every single year we have the ability, our elected officials have the ability to lower taxes, and that, you know, again, that was one of the biggest concerns for our school board was making a decision in 2025 that would affect future school boards in 2050 or 2075, that type of thing.
And I'll point out too, Colin, you know, we've been very fortunate for 3 consecutive years we've been able to lower our millage rate. We've done it 5 times in the last 10 years. We were at 19.5 and we're down right at 16.2, I think it is now. And so our board is consciously, just like the Carrollton City Board, they're very conservative in nature. They believe in stewardship, and they've taken actions. They will continue. They're committed to taking actions. And we always have the ability to work with our local legislative delegation to look at things like this as options in the future. And our board is committed to doing that, and we'll study what's happening with this issue. And you know, it's something we all are concerned about because all of us want to be good stewards of our taxpayer money. We live in a very conservative community, and we want to continue to work closely with our community.
All right, guys. Time right now is 8:59. I'd like to give you time. I know you guys can't say anything in 30 seconds. I know you can't condense it. So I guess I'm just going to skip and head out at this point. But we'll remind people that early voting goes on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at the Carroll County Elections Office and Powell Park in Villa Rica. Again, that's Wednesday today, Thursday, and Friday. Election Day is Tuesday, March the 18th. And I believe Election Day polls are open 7 o'clock a.m. till 7 p.m. And you're going to go to the polling place that is in your precinct where you're used to voting when you don't vote early. So, guys, thank you very much. And appreciate you on here. And
thank you.
Good luck with this.
Thank you, Colin.
All right. And thank you for listening to this morning's Community Voice here on News Talk 1330, FM 106.3.